Listen for the word of God. So then, remember that at one time you Gentiles by birth, called the uncircumcision by those who are called the circumcision, a physical circumcision made in the flesh by human hands, remember that you were at that time without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ, for he is our peace. In his flesh he has made both groups into one, and has broken down the dividing wall, that is, the hostility between us. He has abolished the law with its commandments and ordinances, that he might create in himself one new humanity in place of the two, thus making peace, and might reconcile both groups to God in one body through the cross, thus putting to death that hostility through it. So he came and proclaimed peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near, for through him both of us have access in one spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are citizens with the saints and also members of the household of God, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the cornerstone. In him the whole structure is joined together and grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are built together spiritually into a dwelling place for God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Friends, our world is full of walls. Everywhere we go, there are partitions, fences, gates, and other cleverly constructed barriers, all aimed either at keeping something or someone in, or keeping something or someone out. We need walls. Walls in our homes to hold up the building, to protect us from the wind and rain or unwanted intruders. Walls in farms and fields to keep livestock in and predators out. Walls at work, at least in some places, to help us have separate spaces in order to improve organization and efficiency. In May, Roberta and I traveled through Huntington, West Virginia, my hometown, and we've had a lot of rain in many parts of the country this year, in the spring and in the summer, and there in West Virginia, it was no exception. And yet, my hometown of Huntington, West Virginia, despite the fact that the Ohio River runs right alongside it, despite that fact, Huntington had no water enter the city. And that's because in the 1930s, after a series of catastrophic floods, a huge flood wall was built for miles alongside the Ohio River in order to keep the water from flooding Huntington. So walls can be good things, no question about it. Understand, however, that some walls are anything but good. Some can lead to grief and division, even violence. Remember the Berlin Wall? or note the inflamed debate regarding that fence between Mexico and the United States, or see the real flames on occasion roar across the security wall between Palestine and Israel. Yes, walls can be sources of controversy, sources of mistrust. And not all walls are physical. Not all are built out of cement, rocks, bricks, or wood. Spiritual and emotional walls can come between us. We can build walls of hostility that disrupt relationships and keep others at a distance. We've built many of them, not out of bricks and mortar, but out of the raw materials of arrogance, sin, and division. And then we've cemented them with name-calling, labeling, and prejudice. In recent weeks, there has been one wall that for many of us is a good thing to have come down. And I know we don't talk about things like this too often at Wildwood Presbyterian, but let me say this, I suspect you know, as one whose accent betrays the fact that I am not someone from the North. I was raised in the South, a border state, West Virginia, that seceded from Virginia during the Civil War, which gave its sons up to both sides of that terrible and tragic conflict. And I have lived and worked in the midst of the heart of the South and seen the tragic effects of the divisions of racism. And so I, for one, was glad when I saw a flag representing the Confederacy come down from official state and government buildings. There is a heritage to this flag. It belongs in museums. It belongs in places where it can be remembered and that tragic time can be thought about. But my friends, the flag for many is a sign of oppression, a sign of racism, a sign of segregation. And again, understand I say this not simply as a Southerner, but rather also as one whose great-great-grandfather, buried on a hillside at the top of a West Virginia mountain, is named Andrew Stonewall Jackson Ciphers. The Confederate flag does not need to be in a place of honor. We remember the heritage. We understand that well-meaning people can feel differently about that. But that is a symbol of a wall that long ago should have come down. And now in our New Testament lesson, my friends, we read that Christ has broken down the dividing wall, that is the hostility that is between us. The problem then revolved around an unfortunate interpretation of Jewish scripture by some of those early Christians. It helped ensure that a wall of hostility was solidly in place among those in that growing Christian community. And in this case, it was the circumcision insiders pitted against the uncircumcision outsiders. Perspective and power shift depending on which side of the wall a person is standing on. And what about walls between Christians? Do you understand that sometimes the infighting that flies in the face of Jesus' high priestly prayer of unity and oneness Such troubles in the body of Christ are not a sign of diversity, but of division. And it is a sin that compromises the church's witness and grieves the Holy Spirit. Yet Paul tells us in this passage that those walls have already come down through Jesus Christ our Lord. Note that this is in the past tense. The peace described here, my friends, is not simply a ceasing of conflict or the absence of violence. The hope alluded to is not merely a desire for international cooperation. Here, unity, peace, and hope are not things at all. They are a person. Christ is the peace, and in His flesh, the dividing wall of hostility is already taken down. And we, as followers of Jesus Christ, can choose to live in light of that fact, or we can deny and disobey that fact. Now, please understand, the unity this passage encourages is not uniformity, but rather unity amidst diversity. We are to journey together in our faith walk despite our differences. Way back in 1629, a group of folk who came from England seeking a place to live and worship together without persecution founded a church in Massachusetts. They wrote a church covenant to define their understanding of what it meant to be citizens with the saints and members of God's household. They quoted, in other words, directly from our text for today. And it's very short, that covenant. We covenant with the Lord and one with another to walk together in all His ways, according as He is pleased to reveal Himself unto us in His blessed word of truth. Note, there's no doctrine specified here, no beliefs that people must consent to agree with. The only promise here is to walk together to discover what God's truth is. That word applies today. In a world, my friends, where people seem to say so often, "You go your way and I'll go mine," that church covenant and the words of Paul to the Ephesians remind us that the point of Jesus Christ breaking down those walls is that we will commit to walk together with God and with each other to see how God will be revealed to us in the journey together. So we may speak with different languages, because the place of our birth, or because we are of different generations, or because some of us say y'all and some of us say you folks. But if we are Christians, we covenant to walk together. We may disagree on politics or social issues, but if we are Christians, we covenant to walk together. We may disagree on the Bible or theology or on what hymns we like or dislike, but if we are Christians, we covenant to walk together. We may or may not understand or be confused or repelled by different lifestyles among us and around us, but if we are Christians, we covenant to walk together. We may have been excluded or labeled or shunned or ignored by other groups or individuals or even our own families, but if we are Christians, we covenant to walk together. A number of years ago, or actually it was just more recently, Roberta and I returned to meet our new granddaughter, Hannah, went back to Texas, and yes, now I know for 2 straight weeks I've worked her into this sermon. But we went back there, and we had a wonderful visit with our family, and we ran across some friends who were from our hometown of Kilgore, Texas, where our children had been raised there for 18 years, their hometown. Those visits were enjoyable, but one visit left me somewhat unsettled. I ran into a longtime member of another church in Kilgore where I had served for 18 years as a pastor, and I asked how things were going in their church's fellowship, and she replied, her name was Paula, that she wouldn't know because she hadn't been to church in quite a while. Startled, I asked, "Why? That's not like you, Paula," I said. And then she responded in this way, "Well, it dawned on me one day in church what had been haunting me for some time." I said, "What?" She said, "I finally said to myself what I had been thinking for a long while." "What?" I asked again. She said, "I realized how many church members had these walls built around them. They cared about you only if you ran in their circles, only if you socialized with them." I said, "Paula, that can't be true. I've known a lot of people in your church who reach out to folks different from themselves. I know that in the church I served there in Kilgore, there were white-collar folks who reached out to blue-collar folks and vice versa. And now in the church where I serve, Paula, in the church where I serve, there are people who reach out to the community through PADS, a wonderful organization I was able to tell her about, through the food pantry, a wonderful outreach that this church has." And I said, "What you say is just not so." She wouldn't have anything of it. She said, "You know what? I don't buy that." She said, "Name me some people like that." Paula wants names. Friends, forgive me for asking, but can I give her your name? Amen.